Welcome to Moolah Matters with Ina. The cost of living in South Africa is high, and so many consumers are struggling to make ends meet. Food prices are soaring, housing costs are escalating, we are paying more for water and electricity, then we still have to pay for education and healthcare, but our salaries do not keep up. Many consumers believe the only way out is to borrow more money. But that is not the only way. If you borrow more and increase your debt burden, it will just push you deeper into financial trouble instead of getting you out of it. Some experts believe that consumers also struggle because they are not financially literate. We simply do not know enough to manage our finances better and make more informed decisions about our money. Fortunately, there is free help for consumers to learn more about money and managing their finances. One Life Insurance's Truth About Money is one option that offers easy access to financial literacy. These 30-minute courses are jargon-free and offer interactive content with tips and tools which can be downloaded, as well as a virtual help desk for learners to access if they need further clarity. The latest offering is the Cash Crunch course, which helps individuals make their money last throughout the month by giving them ways to improve their cash flow and find easy ways out to cut expenses. Today, I chat to Hayley Perry, money coach and facilitator at One Life's Truth About Money, about how you can survive these tough financial times. Welcome, Hayley.
Thanks, Ina. Great to be with you.
Hayley, why is it important to be financially literate?
Ina, there's this focus in South Africa where you need to get yourself a good education so that you can get a good job, so that you can get a great salary, and that's wonderful. But we kind of stop there, and that's where the problem is, because no one ever teaches us what to do with that salary when it hits our bank account. And this is something that we need to be able to do, managing your money from the day you start working until the day you die. And so it's a really important life skill, and it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. That the better you get at it, the more stress-free your money management will be, and also it will improve your ability to build wealth over the long term.
Which two levers can you pull to help you through tough financial times?
So, there's two things you can look at. If you don't have enough money, one of the things you can do is you can try and increase your income. So you'll be looking at maybe having a bit of a side hustle in addition to your job. Maybe you're really good at baking birthday cakes, and you can do that for friends and family on the weekend. That's an example. So lever one is try and improve increase your income. The other one is you want to try and decrease your costs or your expenses. And when you do that, you're also going to free up some cash flow. So those are the two main areas that you want to look at.
Tell us about the five ways to improve your cash flow right now.
So one of the things that I know a lot of people find quite hard, particularly when you're going through a cash crunch, is that you're coming from a place where you feel like everything is really hard. You're working so hard to earn this money, and then it's still not enough. And so when we're looking at this idea of cost cutting, it's hard emotionally, And so I've got a mantra that can kind of help us through that, and that is delay, not deny. And I find it really helpful even in my own family. It's the idea is it's not that we're never going to buy this thing or go to this place or do this experience, for example. It's just that we're not going to do it right now. And while we are delaying this purchase or this experience, we're going to get really good at managing the money we do have, so that when we get to that point where we get to enjoy that, we know we can do it guilt-free. And so That's a kind of good mantra to keep in mind at the back of your head, you know, at the back of your mind while you're figuring out how to remove some of this stress. And so there are five different ways that you can look at improving your cash flow. The first is one that we've already discussed, as in, you know, cutting out or eliminating unnecessary expenses or luxuries. You know, one of the things I talk about is spring cleaning your spending habits and spring cleaning your debit orders, because people put in, you know, people change. Who you were 3 years ago and the debit orders you put in place then may not serve who you are now. You know, I'm side-eyeing you here, the gym contract you never use. Okay, so that's the first one, cutting out. The second one is trading off. You know, so here you're looking at two different expenses and then saying, okay, well, this one really matters to me more than this one. So I'm prepared to cut this because this is more important to me. You know, an example of that would be, it's really important for our family that we want to go on holiday at the end of this year, but I can't do that and paint the house, for example. So we're going to choose the holiday of the house. The next one is substituting. So that's finding a cheaper alternative to an existing expense.
Yes.
So for example, maybe you want to have a streaming TV service instead of like a DSTV option. Sorry, SuperSport. You know, but those are generally cheaper. And then the next one is negotiating. So this is about approaching existing service providers, and see if they can give you a better price. You know, you never know until you ask. And in tough financial times, some companies or businesses may be happy to keep you as a customer, even if it means, you know, reducing what you're paying them. And then the last one is bartering. So that is where you are looking at exchanging goods or services instead of a payment. You know, so for example, you know, perhaps you can offer to babysit your friend's kids in exchange for a birthday cake from them. You know, there's lots of different ways you can do things where you help one another out, and also make sure that you're not actually paying for services that you really do value.
That sounds like a great idea. What are practical ways to cut expenses?
You know, we've given some examples there in that previous question. I think one of the other things that is important to look at is how much of your salary are you spending, like in terms of your expenses, how much of that is linked to debt? Because for most South Africans, we know that 76% of our take-home pay is spent servicing debt. So what this means is that for every 1,000 rand in take-home pay, 760 rand of that is going to paying people back for goods and services that you've already used or bought. And so if there's a way that you can reduce the amount of debt you have, that's a really good way to reduce your expenses, particularly in the current interest rate environment that we find ourselves in.
Oh, yes. In this kind of environment, is it a good idea to reconsider if you really need all that insurance cover?
No. So, you know, now is not the time to be cancelling what are essentially your financial shock absorbers. You know, we've all got expenses that are there to protect us from risk. Things like medical insurance or household insurance or car insurance or life insurance. And these expenses are really important to protect us and our families in case something goes wrong. So I would always recommend trying to cut in other areas before you look at something like that, because that's a really bad place to cut, because if things go wrong, you know, with whatever it is that you're insuring, whether it's your car or your life, you know, you potentially leave your family very exposed at one of the most vulnerable times possible. And so, yeah, I would highly recommend trying to figure out other ways to cut your expenses rather than there.
Yes, I mean, just imagine you let go of your building's insurance and there's a flood that there's never been at your house. Now you have to rebuild your house.
Yeah, it's that's the kind of stuff that can derail years of good money management. And that's so, that's why we say please rather look at other areas to cut expenses or to increase your cash flow rather than cutting on the things that are designed to protect you when things go wrong.
Hayley, how do wealthy people survive and thrive during a cash crunch?
I think there's a perception that cash crunches only happen to people who aren't wealthy, and nothing could be further from the truth. There's loads of example in history of people who've been incredibly successful in any number of areas, and including financially, and who then find themselves on the back foot again for whatever reason. And I think it's important to know that this does happen to everyone. It happens to everyone because it's not about how much money you make, it's about how much money you keep at the end of the day. That's the name of the game here. And bad things can happen to anyone, regardless of how much you earn. What is important here is that we learn from these lessons. Because the skills that you put in place when you're going through a tough financial time, regardless of your starting point, those skills are going to stand you in good stead going forward. When times are easy, you don't have to look at your expenses. You don't have to scrutinize if you're, wasting money in one area or another. And so that's why it is always going to shine a spotlight on your finances. And so the habits and the skills that you learn and put in place while you're going through a rocky financial time, when you come out of it, what can happen is that you can actually accelerate your ability to build wealth thereafter because you've actually developed some skills that you didn't have before that crash crunch. And I think wealthy people in particular, or people who become wealthy, are good at recognizing that and understanding that they've now got more financial muscle than they had prior to this rocky patch, and they now want to use it to their advantage.
And Hayley, how do you manage your relationships during a cash crunch?
yeah, so this is an important one because, most of us aren't managing our money in a vacuum. How we manage our money and our households is impacted by the people, who we live with or who are dependent on us. And so what's really important here is that we attack the problem and not the person. My little piece of relationship advice that I'm going to throw in here, don't start any money conversation with the words, this is all your fault. It's not gonna end well. So yeah, remember that the problem here is that we don't have enough cash flow and we need to figure out how to solve it. And getting you and your partner on the same page is a far quicker and easier way to get a resolution than going after the person instead of the problem.
How can consumers still manage to save during these times?
So this is hard because we know that people really are struggling at the moment. But what we like to teach is to kind of have a different lens through which you look at your money. So we call this paying yourself first. Now, this is a kind of budgeting philosophy where the focus is on making a profit. So this is around how much you keep rather than how much you make. And the way you prioritize making a profit is the same day that your income comes into your bank account, you want to move your profit portion out. So just put it somewhere else where you're not managing your day-to-day running of your household from that same account going forward. So literally, even if that means for the first month that you do it, that your profit is $50 because you've cut back on that coffee you love. One time, you will have made yourself a profit. And that, profit is comprised of savings and investments. And so, you can then figure out your expenses from there on. But it does mean that at least you have made a profit. And what we recommend do it in here to help yourself is to automate that process. So set up a scheduled transfer or a debit order where your profit piece is taken out of your everyday transactional account on the same day that you get paid. And the only time you go in to adjust that scheduled transfer or debit order is when you're changing the number. So as you get better at improving your cash flow and managing those expenses, then you can increase that $50 to 100, to 500, to 1,000. And that's how you start building habits that last you a lifetime, how you can accelerate your ability to grow wealth once you're out of this cash crunch. But during this period, you're still making sure you make a profit, even if it's $50, as I said.
That sounds like a great idea. Is it important to teach our children about money, and what should we teach them?
Absolutely. This is, you know, I sometimes give talks in schools and I chat to parents, and they tell me that they often feel more comfortable talking to their kids about the birds and the bees than they do about money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pity, you know, because we need to have conversations about money because, like I said, this is, you know, managing it is a life skill that everyone needs to learn. And you learn best through experience, through watching others do it, through making your own mistakes. And so that's one of the things I always tell parents, please let your kids make mistakes with money. But like a very simple philosophy to kickstart that process in your home, particularly if you've got younger kids, is to have three jars and you can label them save, spend and share. And every time your kid gets any money, whether it's from pocket money or birthday gifts from grandparents, you say to them, okay, how much are we going to put into saving? How much are we going to put into spending? And how much are we going to put into our sharing jar? And then you start to have discussions on what that means. And you align it to the values in your family. And you start to teach them lessons around positive aspects of money management. And it's a great way to kickstart that process with your kids.
What is the sharing jar for?
So sharing is about giving. So this idea, perhaps if you're religious, you might already be tithing to your church. But here you're having a conversation with your kids about how you can share, as an example. Another example in my house is we do a Secret Santa box that our kids put together for less fortunate kids. And so the money that gets put aside in their sharing jar over the year, we then take that money, the physical money in the jar, and we go through the list of the things that we're going to put in that Santa shoebox, you know, the toothpaste and the face cloth and the toy and the everything. And there are so many life lessons that they learn from that process.
Yes.
And then by the time that gift is wrapped, you know, they're incredibly proud that it comes from them, that they have been able to gift this to somebody who has less than them. They've learned about how much a tube of toothpaste costs. You know, there's so many positive lessons you can get from that. But yeah, sharing is about aligning with your values. And you talk about, guys, this is for you to give to people or causes that you are passionate about. You know, perhaps it's going to go to a dog shelter if you've got a kid who's crazy about dogs. You know, so there's lots of different ways you can do it.
That sounds like a great idea. And then finally, Hayley, if you worry less about your finances because you have it under control, will it be good for your mental health?
Absolutely. Not just your mental health, actually your physical health too. There was a study that came out last week that showed that if you're stressed about your money, it can have a negative effect on everything from your ability to sleep at night, you know, so insomnia, diabetes, hypertension, all sorts of things. So, yeah, you know, getting on top of your money management, feeling like you're in control of things, it definitely helps your overall sense of well-being. And it also, I think it creates an environment where money in the household is not this negative thing, you know. It's something that we do and we're getting better at doing it well, and therefore we're worrying less about it. It's not causing us to lose sleep at night and to shout at our kids when they ask for something because, you know, you can't afford it. You know, there's all sorts of ramifications that come from financial stress. So making it a priority to eliminate that from your life, getting on top of it, getting yourself the skills by doing this Truth About Money cash crunch is a wonderful way to kickstart that journey. And start reducing your financial stress.
Ellie, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure we will all start feeling better about our finances now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Ina. It was fab chatting.